Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in order received and will take as many as time permits. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Michael Schaefer with Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions related to the robotics business. Looking into your gross margin in the first quarter and the kind of explanation you gave, and also referring to the strong order intake you have shown primarily from the automotive division inside robotics, could you just provide us a gross margin outlook for the rest of the year in the robotics business? Do you expect the gross margin to remain at the current level, or do you see a chance for uptick there? And the second one, related also to robotics, would be R&D. You've shown a significant drop year-over-year in R&D. Just an indication for 2010 on the R&D line would be very helpful. Thanks.
Okay, well, concerning the gross margin for robotics for this year, for sure we will expect an increase in the gross margin. So target here for robotics clearly is, let's say the benchmark for us is to come to the 30% line here in the gross margins for robotics. This depends on two major factors. The one is the sales split in the different markets. As we said, we expect that normally we should have an almost unchanged market mix compared to last year. And the price pressure we see in automotive normally should be compensated then by the cost savings programs on the one hand, and on the other hand also then by higher unit numbers and economies of scale. So this is all the initial outlining for 2010. On the gross margin, it is important for you to know that the major step forward in the margin development of robotics will come from the introduction of the new generation of mechanical components, the full-size robot and the new control unit. This will only have a minor positive impact in 2010. It will have an increasing impact on the gross margin in 2011. And in 2012, we should see some significant positive changes in the margins in the robotics business because of the new generation having then, let's say, a full coverage or almost full coverage of the markets we serve there. Concerning the R&D expenses, today's expectation is that there will be some numbers in the range of last year's R&D expenses, maybe a little bit lower. But here also is important what Reuters said, also for this year, we have our lightweight robot, which is one of our most important future business areas we want to get into. And also we are prepared here to make further R&D investments. And what I said before concerning the CapEx side, this also applies to the R&D side, that the major projects with high priorities will go ahead unchanged because this is the future of KUKA. And besides all the cost savings program, we have to ensure that also the product portfolio technologies we offer to the market are in a well shape, because the main asset of KUKA is really the technology, and these advantages we have to keep because this is also a major asset of KUKA. So overall, I would say maybe some minor numbers, maybe a little bit below last year's R&D expenses, but no major decline compared to last year.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question will come from Sebastian Ubert with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi gentlemen, a few questions please. Can you give us an idea of how much extraordinary charges you had in your financial items in Q1 related to the new contracts you have signed with your lending banks and also for the waiver program? That is my first question. With regards to the EBIT, Mr. Reuters stated on a Reuters interview that you will achieve roughly 10 million excluding one-off charges. does it roughly imply some $10 million to be booked for the restructuring in Augsburg? Is that a fair assumption? That would be the questions I have so far. Thank you.
Well, concerning question one, extraordinaries in Q1 financials, the extraordinaries was around about $2 million here. But I have to note here that when we look from Q2 ongoing, as you know, we have signed the new financing contract in March, and therefore from April on, we have also then all the fees running on based on the new financing solution we have agreed with the banks, and also then there are some fees which will be capitalized and will be then written off over time, so that you shouldn't expect a major change in the financial result. But the content of the financial result is different because it will be replaced, the extraordinaries, with running depreciations on these assets based on the fees we have paid. Concerning the EBIT, the 10 millions and excluding one-offs, what we see today is concerning one-offs is round about what we expect, round about 5 millions for all the consulting services we use for the restructuring. This is mainly our board member and also the team from Alvarez, which is working here at KUKA. We will see how successful we are in the future during this year, 2010, and if we make significant progress and are ahead of our savings program, for sure there is potential maybe to reduce these costs. We don't see today at least major further restructuring charges concerning especially headcount reduction. So our today's estimate is, and this follows your view, that 5 to maybe 10 millions are the extraordinaries we expect today, which you should expect for the full year 2010.
Okay,
if there would be any major change, we would guide you.
Okay, then one follow-up, please, on the order intake. You have reported that a larger order with BMW in April. Was that already booked into the order intake in Q1, or will we see that all then coming through in the second quarter? Thank you.
Well, you know that when you make such press releases, that it's always a time lag between the order intake and also then the release from the PR departments of our customers. As far as I know, the major thing you have to know is that the robotics business, the robotics orders were taken into Q1, and the systems, I think, was already done last year, but it took time concerning the press release. But this is a typical time lag you have in such press announcements. But I think this gives you the hint that also in Q1, because BMW was already last year, in Q1 we had some nice business gains from our OEMs, and potentially we have then releases from the PR departments that further press releases will come out of KUKA, also having some nice orders won from other OEMs.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now move to Thomas Rau with MM Warburg.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Thomas Rau from MM Warburg speaking. Three questions, if I may. First of all, could you please elaborate on the EBIT contribution of KTPO in the first quarter and which EBIT contribution you expect for the full year? Secondly, given that you plan to get additional cost savings this year, could you give us a flavor on how many cost savings you already achieved in Q1 and what you expect for the full year, and maybe also an indication on how it does that split for systems and robotics. And finally, again on the financial result, could you give us an idea on how on the one-off expenses you expect for the financial result in 2010 and where financial result could probably go in 2011. Thank you.
Okay, well, first question concerning EBIT contribution of KTPO, I think you know it for years now that we have the confidentiality agreement with Chrysler not to disclose anything on profitability of KTPO, but the one thing I can tell you, a significant part of the systems business and the systems profitability is gained by the KTPO earnings. This was this took place also in the first quarter 2010. It will be an unchanged picture also for the remainder of 2010. So KTPO is a very healthy business for us, very profitable, very stable also in the bad times based on our contractual situation. It makes fun, and if I could copy KTPO, I would copy it 10 times if it would be possible. Concerning the additional cost savings in 2010 and also what was in Q1 achieved and what is ongoing, we always said that we want to increase the number of sustainable savings up to 70 million until the end of 2010. And at least what we achieved in the first quarter 2010, we achieved about one-third of the budgeted savings for 2010, so we're currently somewhat ahead of it, and it's difficult to talk about numbers, but the total number is round about 19 million savings we expect for Q1 being included, but you always have to take into account that our cost savings program benchmarks itself with our 2008 cost base. But it's always important to know when we give you then a huge savings numbers, you always have to consider this is compared to 2008. Mm-hmm. If we can achieve further savings, increasing the 70 million, I would say today let's wait what the order income does, because if we have higher capacity requirements, this is then a positive impact on required capacity, but it also lowers then our potential to save sustainable costs, because then we also would, let's say, would not decrease the capacity base more based on the positive order development. So I would say for us it's important today that we match at least the 70s. If we have potential to achieve higher savings, we will take them. But first priority today is get the 70s and get as much business from the market as possible. And if we have, let's say, a high sales number and achieve the 70s, that would be absolutely fine for us. Mm-hmm. Concerning the financial result, one-off expenses in 2010, this will change. As I said, the first quarter, this was a one-off position because the new senior facility agreement was not in place. It will be in place then from the second quarter on with all the fees and all the depreciations on the fees, which will be capitalized throughout the notice time of this SFA. So we expect no further extraordinaries or one-offs in the financial results from Q2 on. However, what is very important for us is that based on the size and of the capital increase, there could be some potential also to lower the financial losses. But this we can tell you when we know how the capital increase went and which volume we generated. I think this maybe is a question I expect that is still to come in one of the later analysts, and then we will give you some ideas on our expectations and ideas on the volume. But depending on the volume, there could be some positive change also on the financial result, as I said before. But today, considering only the minimum requirement of the capital increase being 23 million, it's still valid that we expect a financial result of minus 20 plus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Maybe one additional question, coming back to my first question. I respect you that you won't disclose the number for KTPO, but just put it the other way around. Would it be fair to assume that without the KTPO contribution in the first quarter, that EBIT in systems was negative?
Well, when I give you the answer, I would then disclose too much, but I can tell you that for sure KTPO helped very much to have the EBIT as it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Harald Remit with LBBW.
Yes, thank you. Hello, gentlemen. Just a couple of questions. Could you give us an indication in view of the costs for the central departments? What do you expect for the current financial year? Is the first one. The second one, regarding your expansion of the business in the BRIC countries, do you plan to establish a production or assembly facility there besides the robotics assembly in China in view of the adjusting your capacities in Augsburg, and what does it mean for the business there? Should we expect additional restructuring costs, or is it just a slow kind of adjusting capacities? And finally, a question regarding your tax position for the current financial year. Could you share with us your expectations, what we should assume for the whole year?
So I will make the first question, and I think Brick Augsburg then Till. So concerning the cost of the central department, today's expectation is that we have 17 million negative EBIT out of the headquarters cost, but this includes the 5 million I mentioned before concerning restructuring. So we have decided to keep these costs on corporate level, and therefore these numbers have to be considered when understanding the roundabout 17. If we perform better, I told you that there is some headroom maybe to reduce this cost, but it's too early today to expect that this number can be reduced, but there is potential and we try to realize this potential. The other question concerning tax position for the current year, at least today, what I see today is at least current taxes in the range of a mid-single digit, which solely comes from the U.S. operations. These are really current taxes. And on the deferred tax side, normally there shouldn't be a major impact that should further increase the tax position. It was in Q1 a different picture, but you have to understand that in this deferred taxes we have one portion was different POC methods between U.S. GAAP and our German commercial code. These are really timing differences which should disappear. So I expect also for the full year normally the tax position, the tax expense shouldn't be much higher than about 10 million. However, we have currently a tax audit running, but if there would be an impact from the tax audit, we will also give you then a separate guidance that we have a separate impact on the tax rate if it is the case.
On the Brick side, I think first of all we do have this robotic assembly line in Shanghai. Clearly we do have some assembly facilities in Asia for systems, for the smaller ones. Here we clearly see that our key customers from the automotive side will be stronger in Asia and China. And here it's clearly the way we are going, and what we already prepared here, that the global footprint of systems has to be much more in equilibrium by having more business in South America, Americas, Europe, and also stronger in Asia. So we need some kind of capacity adjustment according to what our customers are doing. It means that we are going to grow in Asia, and we are in negotiation on this side, and clearly see here growth, and hopefully we'll have in the second quarter and in the rest of the year further business in this area, which then also should show that we increase our capacities in these regions. That means on the other side that since we see the capacity increase in Asia and, for example, in South America, we clearly see that the business in Europe will not grow that fast in the other regions, or be more steady, and we have to adjust our capacities here in Germany and especially in Augsburg, as I already mentioned. We have done the cost cutting on the personal side last year, mainly in 2009. We clearly are still optimizing it, and we have to work on the processes and on low-cost sourcing. Therefore, it's clearly we have to find the right capacity in this triad market. That means we have the right capacity for Germany, Asia, and U.S.
Okay. One quick follow-up. Do you have any goals? What amount of business volume you want to achieve in the BRIC countries in the midterm? Or is it just the rough direction to go forward in this where the growth happens?
I think currently we have a clear target to grow in the big countries, but we don't have today for you a number we can tell you where we want to go. It's clearly one of our priorities, and we should come up with clearer guidance on BRIC, but we don't have a clear guidance where we want to be in 2 years here.
Okay, thank you.
But I think just to come back, I think we are with existing customers like Volkswagen. We do have local customers in India like Tata. And I think, therefore, we are already in this region represented. And it's key for us, together with our customers, to be to have their growth together with our growth.
Our next question comes from Stefan Augustin with BHF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Stefan Augustin, BHF Bank. One question would be on, let's say, a possible positive impact from the U.S. dollar. I mean, I know that you have a lot of local production in the systems business and anything else, but you should have some shipments, let's say, from robots from Germany into the U.S., and you have some translation effects probably. Could you give at least an idea how much the exchange rate movements could or do impact your EBIT in 2010? The other thing is, I've seen from your cash flow statement that you have had probably a normalization of your trade payables in the first quarter. Now you have indicated you need probably some working capital in the second quarter. Could you quantify or have an idea how much working capital built up you expect from your current order intake in the next, let's say, 6 months? Thank you.
Okay. Well, first question concerning the possible positive impact of the U.S. dollar. I will refer only now to the EBIT impact. The potential is roundabout, if let's say the dollar changes by 10%, it has a potential on the EBIT side of roundabout 1 to 1.5 million euros. But this is the negative side of the strong dollar. What we currently see today, that the Japanese yen, we source from Japan, and in the case that the Japanese yen stays, let's say, almost on par level with the U.S. dollar, so this means the euro gets weakened compared to U.S. dollar and Japanese yen, this positive impact is then eaten up by the negative Japanese yen impact. If a yen would stay on par with euro, and both would lose compared to the U.S. dollar, then we should see some positive impact on the EBIT. But this is unfortunately not the case now with the euro. Concerning the cash flow, trade payables, I wouldn't look into the next two quarters, but give you some heads up concerning our targets for the full year. For the full year, we have to take into account that around about 17 million we have paid out of the restructuring program of 2009. 7 million were already paid out in the first quarter, so another 10 million are still to come in the following three quarters. We target for operating cash flow being at break-even level. This means that currently, with our working capital management, we can recover the increased working capital based on our top-line growth by accounts payables especially, and also can recover the 17 million payouts from the restructuring. So current target is operating cash flow to be at break-even level. However, if it goes further this way, as in the first quarter on the order side, which would be then positive and which would be also a charge we would like to take, is if we show higher growth on the revenue and order side, potentially also the cash flow could turn into negative, but this is then maybe to finance the growth.
Okay, but just quickly coming back on probably, let's say, short-term working capital.
Yeah, short-term working capital, this could also show some 20 million negative cash flow based on working capital investments only in the second quarter.
And third would be then flat.
And third, then more or less flat, because then normally, let's say, we should have then an increase of backlogs, which slows down compared to first quarter, where we have this pickup. And if we then have a slowdown of the growth, of top-line growth, then normally, as you said, then you should have also had a normalized and reduced investments into the working capital.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Jacko Terzic with DZ Bank.
Hi, gentlemen. Jacko Terzic from DZ Bank. I got three questions left. The first one pertains to short-time work. Could you give an update on your short-time work plans and how long you expect to use this tool in 2010 and or even longer? The second one pertains to an indication of your order backlog for Q2. What is indication you currently have for the Q2, and could we expect a similar level we have seen in Q1? And the last question pertains to the break-even sales level on a quarterly basis. Is it fair to assume that the break-even might be between 220 million and 230 million?
Okay, first question concerning the short-time work. This is something we noted also in our quarterly report. We have had, end of March, 425 Mitarbeiter employees in short-time. And what we plan to do is, as long as we have capacity potential also to keep employees in short-time work, we will do this. We have currently also the approval to use short-time work until end of 2011, but for sure we will utilize the short-time work program as long as it's available or to balance out short-time capacity fluctuations. So we will utilize the instrument as long as it's available. Concerning the order backlog Q2, could we expect similar level? This is, I would say, at least a fair estimate that this could be the case. However, we have seen a promising start into the first quarter, but let's see what the order entry in the second quarter is. If it's high enough, this could lead to an increase of the backlog. But today, I would say at least it's fair to expect somewhat backlog level on the level of the first quarter. The break even, the quarterly basis of 220 to 230, this is too early to have the break even at this level, because you have to consider that in the current expenses we have in the first quarter, you could get the impression that we have already achieved the target to send down the break even to 900 million. But based on the current estimate, we have no accruals running on for the bonuses for the people. So you have to add some around about 10 million to the cost base in typically profitable years. So I would say it's still fair to say that we want to move down the break even to 950. This is the main target for this year. Maybe we get some headroom to come somewhat between 950 and 900. And this then would lead to an estimated roundabout in this range and the break-even would be. But in the first quarter, we are on track with lowering the break-even, but the cost base in Q1, you have to take into account that bonus accruals are not included there.
Okay, so maybe one follow-up. Could you also give us an indication of the order development in Q2 so far?
You think, in addition to what Stefan just mentioned, that we had a nice start in 2010 and also development which we have seen in Q1 are shown in Q2, so we had it's a trend. As indicated, we had a weak August September last year. We had a starting of business picking up in Q4 2009, and we have a trend which is this trend is still lasting, and therefore it means that Q2 2010 looks promising here.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Achim Henke with WestLB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions, please, regarding production in the robotics area. First question regarding brick. Do I understand correctly that main demand in BRIC countries is coming from the automotive side? And second question referring to this, do you plan to establish own production sites, or are you also considering some type of cooperation models? And third and final question regarding capacity utilization, what about the Augsburg plant in robotics? What is the current capacity utilization, please?
Mm-hmm. First of all, the production capacities in Asia are could be both own and cooperations. So I think something where you can, where you have a fast ramp up, and currently we have cooperations here. Business is in Asia coming from automotive and from GI. I don't have the exact split today, but it's not purely automotive. The numbers for Asia is nice growing for the last years. So it's a mix of out of travel industry and also automotive. On the capacity utilization, today we could do 20% of the Kubota production in Asia. So that means that we can somewhat maneuver between the German production and the Asian production.
And what is the current capacity utilization in Augsburg? Is it 80%, 70%?
Augsburg is running at full capacity.
Full capacity, okay.
The robotics.
Thank you.
We'll now take a question from Peter Rosenacker with UniCredit.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One additional question regarding the holding and overhead costs. The level of 4.3 million negative is definitely much higher than in previous years. Does this also include some non-recurring items? The second question is regarding your very strong order intake in robotics in the first quarter. Do you think that such a level is sustainable in Q2, or is there included some very big orders that will not come again? And the third question is regarding the pricing environment. So from the automotive industry, you mentioned that there was significant price pressure. Do you see here some improvement in your current negotiations or order intakes?
Well, the first question concerning the holding costs with the 4 million much higher than in last year's. As I mentioned before, you have to consider that some 5 million annual costs will be included based on the extraordinaries for the restructuring team that we take here. This is one position which is included in the holding costs. And then also we have concerning the issues we have with capital increase and other things, we have some extraordinaries in the holding costs which we expect for 2010. This gives you the up to 17 million cost base for 2010. From 2011 on, we have also some savings programs running at the holding, and for 2011 at least there should be some significant release of holding costs. If you take out a major part of the 5 million for 2011 and some further savings programs, we will see if we come down to a low double-digit number then for the holding expenses in 2011. But for 2010, the transition year is mainly reflected also in the cost base for the holding, which is higher in 2010.
Could you perhaps mention which part of the 4.3 million would you attribute to these mere one-offs in the first quarter?
Well, when I say 5 million, this is no seasonality behind. About 1.2 to 1.3 is the quarterly number for it.
Okay, thank you.
Concerning, I hope I understood your question right, concerning big tickets in the first quarter, which should not reappear in the following quarters. Well, there are always, especially in the systems business, some big tickets in the order intake for body in white orders.
No, I mentioned robotics.
In robotics, there is normally no huge big ticket, because what happens in robotics is you win in the beauty contests the line. This can be a thousand or several thousands of robots, but you never get this order at once. So you always get a piece of the order, some hundred robots. So normally there are no significant big tickets in the robotics business. So today we do not expect that there should be a significant shortfall on the order side at robotics. Clearly, robotics was automotive was very strong in the first quarter, but there is no major item included in Q1 orders which should give you then the update that in Q2 you should expect a significant decrease. This would not take place. It's simply a very good running business currently in the robotics business, and this also explains why we're running at full capacity today in Augsburg with our robotics production. Concerning the price pressure, Well, there is a structural price decline in the robotics business, which we, I would say, safeguard with our unit cost savings due to the new generation. Is there a relaxing situation on price pressure? Maybe also still gives his opinion, but I see maybe some normalization in the pricing discussions, but a release of the price pressure in principle I do not see yet.
I agree. From my side, I think the margin quality is getting better compared to last year, but it's not less competitive. If you see much higher demand, it's maybe we are sometimes in a better position, but however, it's a competitive market, and therefore, it's tough to get business and also to get up to the margins.
One additional question regarding robotics. So you had 114 million order intake in the first quarter. What is your throughput time? Can we expect that Q2 sales in robotics would then go in the direction 110 million or so?
Well, you can expect an increase. The throughput time is 8 to 12 weeks currently. So in normal times, you can deliver in 8 weeks. This is the typical cycle time. Currently, the cycle time moves up. Because if you're running at full capacity, it's a clear indicator that you have some lead times. There is potential for this increase in the sales numbers. The major challenge we have today is not top-line business we gain. The major challenge is to ramp up the supply chain, because many suppliers have scaled down significantly their production. So I think we have control over it, but the main challenge isn't the supply chain yet.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Sebastian Ubert with UBS. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, one follow-up question with regards to the capital increase. You indicated the volume of roughly some 50 million, which is more than double the amount you need at minimum to raise. Is that based on, say, some kind of pilot fishing or investor feedback you got recently? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I was expecting the question. I think, first of all, we made clear that for the pure the financing requirement, we had 23 million, which are backed by Grenzenbau of 15 million. The 15 million is, on the one hand, what we have now agreed with the banks. On the other hand, it's clearly where we see growth areas. We have the ramp up of a new generation of robots. There, for example, the ramp up will be much, much faster if we have the applications also ready. So it means that we have really room and we have places to invest. So it's on the one hand the financing agreement, on the other hand it's clearly our growth path also with Advance, where we will also show in the capital increase on our roadshow that we clearly have areas where we believe it's right to grow and to invest. The capital increase, we have a spec stop of 15 million by Grenzenbau. We have clear indication of Visa Bird that it will be participate in the capital increase, and in addition, we have clear signs from investors that they like the KUKA story, that they see KUKA on the right direction, and they're also ready to invest. And therefore, Stefan Schulak and myself, we are confident to place the 50 million.
Okay. From a timing perspective, is it fair to assume that it will not take place before the capital markets day then?
Before
the Capital Markets Day at the Automatica Trade Fair?
You know, I think we have Q2, as indicated, and I think the Automatica would be a nice starting point.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Thomas Rau with MM Warburg.
Yes, gentlemen, one follow-up question, please. On CapEx, could you give us an idea where CapEx could go in 2010 and 2011? Thank you.
Well, CapEx for 2010 and 2011, I expect in the range of around about 22 to maximum 25 million.
For both years. Both years, thank you.
Just in addition, you know that our R&D expenses are mainly going to the P&L.
Yep.
So CapEx is R&D is not CapEx. It's only a small part of R&D is CapEx, just that it is always clear.
Yeah. We had in the past, when you look into former P&Ls and former cash flow statements, higher CapEx, but the main portion was always capitalized R&D. we have a changed philosophy here that we are more conservative on capitalizing the R&D, and therefore, as Till mentioned, which was formerly CapEx, goes more to the P&L now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Maybe one follow-up on working capital. Which burden from working capital do you expect in the full year?
Well, the burden for working capital I expect, especially in the robotics business, because in systems you also could have situations and can have situations of negative working capital. But in robotics we have the classical cash-to-cash cycle, and therefore with the growing business we have to invest into inventories, and we also have an increasing accounts receivable. This is the major burden we expect for the working capital here. Mm-hmm. And the utilization of accounts payable is somewhat limited. we also, when we have a good financing position, we surely utilize also then discounts if they're available with early payment, and we take then also then such options if it's worthy from a profitability perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Bastian Siegernowitz with Deutsche Bank.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have one follow-up question on the financial result, and sorry to come back on that, but assuming that you successfully place the 50 million, how would that change your interest line in 2011 and 2012? And then finally, also one follow-up question on the outlook into the second quarter. You're saying that Augsburg is more or less running at full speed, and systems have been break-even already in the first quarter. So why should we not expect a relatively nice positive operating result in the second quarter? Thanks.
Well, nobody said that this will not take place, but it's too early to make promises. I think at KUKA, when you look into the past, for us it's important that we deliver on promise at least. This is the minimum level. So if the business runs in the right direction, you're fully right. If the top line works correctly, then this should be the case. That's nothing we do not expect. But it's always the question, what is expectation, what can we today promise? As I said, the supply chain is a challenge currently in robotics. And in the systems business, you also know that based on the percentage of completion method, you also depend on the customers. But if everything runs in a correct way and also supply chain works, that we get the parts for our robots, then we should have really this turn in the second quarter. This is also something I mentioned today in the morning, that if everything runs as we expect, then we should also go back to black on the EBIT line in the second quarter, at least for the first 6 months. Concerning the impact on the financial result based on the size of the capital increase, yes, there is a positive impact possible depending on the size of the capital increase, but it's also a grid behind. This means it depends on the size of the capital increase, which fee grid takes place. But I can't give you today some concrete numbers. I can give you the concrete numbers when we know the size of the capital increase, but it can be a savings which is a 7-digit saving.
Okay, all right, thanks.